They say, how are the dead to be raised? With what kind of body will they come back? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's good to be here in Colonias. Isn't that so beautiful, all the beautiful altar pieces we have here? So beautiful. I love these beautiful statues that we have all over the place. You definitely have better statues than we do even in the main parish there in Santa Rosa, right? Aren't they so glorious? Even the beautiful arrangement that you keep there and all the banners that you have here. It's so beautiful. It's probably because a church here is much older than the church in Santa Rosa. That the faith here in Colonias is much deeper than the faith in Santa Rosa. Been here so much longer. Today we celebrate this in honor of Saint Joseph. This beautiful Mass is in honor of he who is our patron here, but also the reason why there are fewer people here today is because actually it happens to fall on the same day in which the sisters of Saint Joseph are having their big Mass over there in Santa Rosa. And so some people are over there, but we're all, even though we're separated by, what, 30 miles or whatever it is, I don't keep track. It says on my odometer over there. However long the distance we've been separated, we're still celebrating the same Mass, the Mass of Saint Joseph. So we're still honoring the same foster father of Christ Jesus our Lord. So often we like to meditate on a particular part of the life of Saint Joseph, or a particular aspect of his life, or a particular patronage that he has. Saint Joseph is patron of those who are dying. He's a patron of those who have a happy death. Know why he is patron of a happy death? Anybody know? Nobody knows? In this whole time, you don't know why Saint Joseph is patron of the happy death. The reason why I'm here is because we have this carpet and it just eats up all the sound. So I feel, even though when I'm yelling here, like my voice isn't even reaching the back of the church and coming back in this small space, because it's just eaten up by the carpet. Why? Why is Saint Joseph patron of a happy death? Just made your confirmation. I don't know. No, they've not been told. Okay, good. So everybody's gonna learn something real quick right now. It's kind of silly that a man of so few years as me is going to be teaching you about that, but I know that we study a lot, right? We study a lot as priests. So, patron of happy death. Saint Joseph is patron of a happy death. Why? Because who in all of creation had a happier or more blessed death than Saint Joseph? Saint Joseph, how did he die? He died as an old man, or an older man, not particularly old. Many of you are older than Saint Joseph was when he passed away. So, not so old, kind of young. Saint Joseph died with the Blessed Virgin Mary at his side, with Jesus Christ, the Lord of life, at his side, both holding his hands the whole way. How could you have a more blessed death than that? How could you have a more peaceful passing into eternity than Saint Joseph, right? How could you be more consoled than not just to have the thought of Jesus, the thought of Mary present at your death, but actually to have them in the flesh? Can't be better than that. And so that's why he's patron of the happy death, because he drifted off knowing what he was to do. In fact, what some of those beautiful spiritual masters that we have, some of the great mystics, have told us about the last words of Saint Joseph were when he turned to Jesus. He turned to him and said, as I go and as I pass, I know my mission is to go to those souls who are waiting redemption, those who are just, who are waiting in there, and to be their ambassador for you. Come quickly so that we can be with you in heaven. You see, Saint Joseph, it wasn't a mystery to him, the aspects of salvation. He knew that Jesus Christ was his son and also God at the same time. This wasn't a mystery to him. He knew the scriptures very well, that Jesus would die and suffer a horrible death and upon the cross, and that Jesus' death would soon lead the souls who are waiting redemption to unlock heaven, so that souls could actually enter in by receiving the blood of Jesus Christ, in whom they put their trust, though they knew him not. He knew all these things. And so he's saying, look, I'm going to go there to tell them I've seen you, that I've known you, and that they don't have to wait much longer. A short time till you enter into your glory. That's why he's patron of a happy death, and one who the fathers of the church talk about as being ambassador, the first ambassador of Christ to the souls in limbo, in that thing which was the pre-purgatory. I don't want to spend much time on that. We spent a little bit of time already, right? We're going to talk about that more in depth at another time. But today our readings talk about something awesome. What does it say there? Have you ever thought this question yourself? I know I have. Have you ever thought about why it says, how are the dead to be raised? With what kind of body will they come back? Has that question ever vexed you? Like, okay, we talk about a resurrection of the body. We mention that every Sunday when we go to Mass and we pray the Creed, right? We believe in the resurrection of the body. Well, what is that? How will the dead be raised? Have you thought about that? Have I told you about that yet? I don't know. I don't think I have. I did in Vaughan, but I haven't here. So I want you to pay very much attention, because I want you to tell Fabian what you learned today and show him that you know more than him. He'll be real embarrassed. So you pay real good attention, okay? Okay, because there's not too many things you can show Fabian up in with regard to the faith, but you might be able to do so in this. I'm sure he doesn't know this, okay? So put good attention. So what is that body going to be like? It talks about, so the resurrection of the dead is going to be to a real body. Well, there are, I believe, seven characteristics of the resurrected body that we need to pay attention to. And the first of which is that our body has identity. What does that mean? To have that the resurrected body has identity means this. It's going to be the same body. The same body that you have right there. That thing is going to be raised up. The same thing with which, Raphael, you're scratching your face with. The same thing you're poking your eye out with right there. The same thing that you are sitting there with. That actual body is going to be raised up. Not a different one. It's not like, okay, that body is going to be rotting in the grave and so somehow we're going to have a different body because that one's been rotted away. False. False. Why? Because if you had a different body, would that be a resurrection of the body? No, that'd be an assumption of a new body. Your body would assume, your body would take on a different body, but we believe in the resurrection of the body, which is why we can't do evil things to our flesh, which is why we have to have a respect for it, which is why, really, why even if somebody is to take the act of being cremated, we can't just take those remains and scatter them all over the place. That's a huge offense to the body, treating it as though it were mere dust. That same body is going to be resurrected. Even if it has been cremated, that same body, which is that material there, is going to be raised up. You say, well, how is that possible, Father? Well, what if a beast comes and eats that up? Or what if somebody plants a tree over it and that tree takes on the nourishment? Or what happens? How does this happen? We believe in the fact that God took on flesh. We believe that a virgin conceived. How is that more difficult? That God can take and know exactly where that body is and somehow raise it up to the fullness. How would that be more difficult? No, God knows. There's nothing impossible for God. It's our job to keep respect for it. So that's identity. It's going to be the same exact body. It's also going to have integrity. Well, what does that mean? The integrity of the body means that it's going to have all the parts. So your body in heaven forever, though, that's going to be raised up, hopefully in heaven forever, that body is going to have fingers and toes. That same body is going to have arms and legs. That same body is going to have everything that your body has. It's going to have that same integrity. Guess what? It's going to have even intestines. It's going to have a stomach. You're going to have a tongue. You're going to have all the blood vessels and things like that are going on in there. We know that. We know that to be the case. How? Well, how was Jesus raised? When Jesus came and he said, hey, look, I want to prove to you all that I'm a real person, that I'm a real being in front of you, that I have a real body. I'm not a ghost. What did he ask for? He said, give me food. Watch, I'm going to eat this thing. And what did he do? He ate that food, not because he was hungry, but to prove to them that I'm real. Where'd that fish go? It went into his mouth. It was masticated by his teeth. It was swallowed into his throat. It went down his esophagus. It traveled into his stomach. It went into his small intestine, then his large intestine. Then after that, we have no idea. Okay? We don't know. But we know that that's what happened to the food. We know that that's exactly the way it worked. Why? Because of the example of Jesus. So it has that same integrity, the same parts. But it also has a quality to it. So it just has that identity, it has an integrity, but it also has a quality, meaning what? That the same body is going to be identifiable as your body. It's going to be identifiable as you. No matter what goes on, it's going to have the same quality that people are going to be identifying the fact that this one's Christina, and that one happens to be Christina Sanchez. This one's Christina Campos. Just because they have the same first name, still going to be able to tell which is which, right? There are differences. But at the same time, not only is it going to have that, but you're still going to be male and female. You're still going to have skin color. You're still going to have all those things which are the same for you, but it's going to be raised to a higher level. It's going to be, you're going to have the same thing, but it's somehow going to be different. Why? Because you're going to be without defect. You're going to be without problems. If you went through this life and you cut off your finger on a buzzsaw or something like that, it doesn't mean in eternity you're not going to have that nub of your finger. You're going to be raised to the fullness of its integrity. The only one who is going to have defect in their resurrected body is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who will. Why? Because he desires it. He's going to have those same nail marks in his hands, that same nail marks in his feet. He's going to have that same lance thrust in his side. Why? Because he wants everybody for all of eternity to be able to recall, I did this for you, and I'm not ashamed of it. I want for all of eternity for people to be able to turn to me and say, this is how much I love. Jesus is the only exception to that. The other qualities that that resurrected body is going to have is it's going to have this impassibility, which means what? Not to be able to go through passio, suffering. You're not going to be able to suffer when you get to heaven. No matter what's going on, it means you're going to be immune to pain. No passions, no suffering. None of those negative emotions. What does it say in Revelation? It says there will be no tears because he's going to wipe them all away. You will suffer tears of joy because you're going to see people that you never thought you would see before again. You're going to be reunited with your loved one. You're going to be so joy-filled that you're in the presence of God forever. So you will be able to cry. Remember, you still have tear ducts, all those things, but not out of sadness. In fact, even the fact that some people who you deeply love won't be in heaven isn't a cause of sadness for the saints. Why? The reason being is because the saints are perfect, right? That they understand God's love. That they also understand God's justice. And that those souls chose against God. And so it's right that they're separated from him for all eternity. And so the fact that they're not with him won't lessen their joy. But rather they'll praise God instead. God, you gave them the opportunity. And they chose against you. Blessed be your name. There'll be that deep and profound understanding of that. So not only will there not be suffering, although this is the difference between those who are resurrected unto life eternal and those who are resurrected unto eternal death. Everybody's going to be resurrected, both the just and the unjust. They're going to be able to feel pain forever. They're going to be able to feel that pain without end. So that's a difference between the two resurrected bodies. The penultimate one is subtlety. What does it mean to be subtle? Not what you think. It's not just to kind of be able to tell something that's there. It means that we're able to get to the heart of the matter. It means that you're able to get to a place without effort. Just like Jesus' body, you're going to be able to pass through walls. You're not going to be constrained by physical things. Wasn't that awesome how Jesus wasn't in the room and then all of a sudden he was? He just passed through the walls, as they said. Well, it's the same thing. It means that your soul is going to be so perfectly crafted to your body that there's no difference. Wherever your soul desires to move, your body will instantly be able to go. Will be able to travel in that way, which is paired with the next one, which is agility. It's going to have an agility, meaning that your body is going to be able to move not just as fast as you can run. Your body is going to be able to move as fast as you can think. So if you want to be able to go visit somebody who's on the other side of the universe, you can move as fast as you can think that. You can be able to transverse great distances without time, just like Jesus was able to be able to do, where he was one place here, where he was one place in the next, where St. Philip was at one point praying in Jerusalem, then he was out there with the Ethiopian eunuch, and then he was back over there on another place, I forget, he went way north of Jerusalem, just as an instant. Well, God granted him that special grace, which was not to be realized until the resurrection of the body. And the last grace is this. This should be the most awe-inspiring of all. The last grace of the resurrected body is that it's going to have this quality of class, or clarity, rather. Clarity. What does this mean? Right now, when I look at you, I see the beauty of your body. I see the beauty of who you are showing physically. I can see your skin color. I can see all these various things about you. That's not the way it works with the spiritual body. In fact, right now, I can't see the interior of who you are. I can't look there and see your soul. But the resurrected body isn't that it's transparent. It's that it's so crafted itself to the soul that you can see only the soul's beauty. You don't see the physical beauty of this one's so attractive and that one's so attractive because of a physical thing. You see the soul's beauty. So all those things that you've done in your life, all the virtues which you've built up, which I can't see with my eyes, I'm actually going to be able to see because I'll be able to see your quality of your soul. I'll be able to see how luminous those good works are that you did, with those times when you stopped by on the side of the road and just handed something over to somebody because they were in need. Times where you didn't think, well, this person's going to spend it out on getting drunk or something like that, but I just want to give a gift to this person because I want to love God in this one who's weak. The ways in which you did those good deeds, which so crafted your soul into the love of God, I'm going to be able to see that in you. And so will everybody else. That's the brightness of God's life shooting out from your soul, not hidden by your body. The example of this is where? The beauty of the Transfiguration, right? Remember when Jesus went up Mount Tabor, and when he was there, and all of a sudden his clothes became luminous white. It seemed like he was shining like the sun, and everybody was afraid because they said, whoa, what is going on? That's not the Jesus that I know. Well, guess what? They saw the luminousness of his soul. They saw the beauty as though he were living out the resurrected body now so they could have the strength to go through the passion. That's what it's going to be like for you and for me for all eternity. You're going to be able to see the beauty of your soul. These are the things. This is what the resurrected body is actually going to be. We talk about this body being able to go through corruption. And it will. It's going through corruption even as we speak. More and more corrupt in our body than we were just minutes ago. But this future body will not be subject to any of those things. You're going to have all these great graces. You're going to be able to have that identity, meaning it's the same body. You're going to have that integrity with all the parts to be able to do the same things that your body can do. You're going to have a quality such that you're going to be the same, but without defect. At the very most beautiful time of your body was in this life. You're going to have that impassibility where you're going to be immune to pain if you're in heaven forever. You're going to have this subtlety where you're going to be able to so be crafted within your own nature, body and soul, so that everything works, so it fits all together. You're going to have that agility to be able to move from place to place without being constricted by physical things, nor by your own physical ability to move, but be able to move at the speed of thought. You're also going to have that luminousness of soul, that clarity, where we're going to be able to see the true beauty of the person, which is not mere physical, but truly who you are in soul. This is what our Lord has prepared for us. And I think the more and more we think about what our resurrected body is going to be like, the more and more we can attune ourselves to making sure that resurrected body has the clarity which the saints always longed for. Some of us may be closer to realizing that than others. But we all have to wait for the resurrection of the body until these fullness of these things are revealed to us. St. Joseph, he's patron of those who have a happy death. When we pray to him in this life, not only do we prepare for a happy death, but a blessed life, and so too a blessed life to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.